Well, good morning. How are you doing? Y'all smoked out? No, you doing all right? It's hard on us old people. Did an outdoor wedding, not the same one as Jody Smith. Robin went to that one, but I had promised my veterinarian that I'd do her wedding, and so I performed a wedding yesterday in exchange for a dog neuter. So that was quite a deal, huh? Got a T-bone steak out of it, but it was smoky outside. It was good. Well, I want to talk to you. I want to finish up Adam and Eve's paradise. We talked about it last week. Gave you the scripture, Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28. And I'm reading this in the New Living Translation. It says, I'll just read it again and refresh you on this. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry about the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and the animals that scurry along the ground." So we have a statement about the reality of why we exist in relationships. This is predominantly focused on marriage relationships. But the principles that are being discussed in this particular scripture, it's a really rich scripture full of lots of stuff we can talk about. But these principles can really, really be spread to any of your relationships you have with your family, with your friends, on those kinds of things. We can look at those kinds of deals that we're looking at. And I would venture to say, I mean, I would be open to challenge, but I am pretty sure that every issue, problem that we have worldwide is a relationship problem. You know, starting primarily with our relationship with God, a broken relationship with God. When we have broken that relationship with God, Adam and Eve, here if you read the continued story, kind of the proto-humans, you know, had this relationship, moved out on their own, started calling their own shots, basically wanted to be in control of their own destiny, be God-like in no sense, then entered in to, or allowed to enter into the world we live in right now, evil. And we see that evil that is constantly, always working hard. Satan is always working hard to dehumanize you and to divide you from one another. And he did that first by dividing us from God. And when we're divided from God, then we begin to lose perspective on who we are. The scripture says we're created in his image, male and female. We begin to lose perspective of who we are. We begin to drift a long ways away. We're not even aware that he is who he is and that we're created in his image. And we begin to move more towards only being self-aware, right? As a matter of fact, even in our interpretation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus, many times it kind of boils down to this thing, well, I got to get Jesus in my life so I will have a good life now and go to heaven. It can even become selfish. Instead of realizing we are to return back to being involved with the kingdom of God, that is going to reestablish the earth that we live on, restore it, return it to its original creation, and we're going to live here with him and each other in wholeness. So it's not about just being good so we can make it to heaven. It's about joining in on this restoration process, this restoring process that Jesus died for on the cross. And when we do that, It allows the things of God and the power of God and the grace of God to enter into every aspect of our life, including these relationships. That's what he's talking about here. So to boil all that down into one simple statement, without being aligned with God and giving our heart to God, we're on our own. And we think we're going to do just fine. We think we're going to do just fine. But really, we are in a slow, drifting spiral away from truth in our own identity. So, being away from God is destructive to who we are. Following God, being with God, accepting His grace, going after Him, puts us in this place where we'll be involved with this restorative process where the paradise that was created will be restored and we'll live with Him in that created place. And so you see some things in this particular scripture that gives us a focus on how we can work in our relationships as God designed them to work. Now, it's easy as us humans to take these kinds of things here and say, okay, I think I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 reasons, 5 aspects of the very first marriage, and say, okay, if I do these 5, then I'm going to make it. And that's not the goal. We all need grace to be able to see these things manifested in our life. But really, if we hang on to this in a healthy way, it says if we pursue God, God will help to develop this process, develop these things in our life, develop these relational aspects in our life as we pursue Him. So we always need to realize that the goal is always to pursue God. And then He will, as we pursue Him, He'll reveal to us and help us and empower us and grace us to be able to grow up healthy in our relationships. I read an interesting illustration, a really interesting story, and let's see if I can do it justice. It's either gonna work or we're gonna be listening to crickets, you know. But I was impressed with it, it's bigger than me. But it started out by saying, you know, the world is full of sounds. There are sounds everywhere. And a matter of fact, in the modern world, this is my interpretation, everywhere you go almost, there's music. Have you ever noticed that? You get put on hold, there's music. You go to the shopping mall, there's music. You go to a restaurant, there's music. You go to the airport, there might be music. I don't know. I can't remember. We listen to music all the time. We have people who are wandering around with their headphones on. There's something about music that we're created to be involved with, and the simple answer to that is we're created to worship God, and music is a reflection, an echo of something that happens in the heavenly realm that gives us identity and perfection and fullness and see the perfection of God. But imagine if there were no music, there was just tones. There was nothing like that existed. And all of a sudden, at some point, you know, tones started to get organized into little I don't want to use the word rhythm because I want to use that in a different way, but they get, you know, into little songs, and then those notes get organized in with other notes and they create chords and harmonies. How am I doing for a non-music person? And then, you know, then we count them out in a certain way and develop rhythms and add various instruments. And all of a sudden, there's this orchestration made up of these songs. And what if you've never, ever heard music and all of a sudden you were in some place and this began to happen? It's hard to pull ourselves away from the fact, you know, that we've been around music all our lives. But imagine if you could try to imagine, what would it be like if there was no music and then suddenly over the next few moments this thing just came into being? I mean, I think it would just totally blow our minds. I think it would be an unreal experience that we've never had before. There was this kind of this empty space of existence in the realm of sound, and all of a sudden we're listening to something beautiful that we didn't even know could exist. Well, we're really in that same boat when it comes to knowing about how God can be involved with our lives and transform our lives. We're really in that position. No matter how long we've known God, we're very limited on understanding how much God can be with us and transform us and change us. As a matter of fact, we're so unaware of that reality that it's difficult for us to even imagine how you would enter into that. It would be like the same experience if you had never heard music and someone said, make music. There would be no way that you knew what that is. You wouldn't be aware of the fact that music theory existed or that tones were there, you know, that harmonies could be done, and just somebody says, well, do that. And sometimes we're kind of like that. We're like, God can be involved with our lives. Go do that. Well, how? I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what it's supposed to sound like. I don't even know how it's supposed to count. Well, that's why Jesus enters in with this grace. He says, look, if you just follow me and pursue me, I'll give you understanding about these subtle notes and rhythms of life and relationship as I'm in this process of changing things. There is this hope. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to figure it all out. All you have to do is follow the guy that's going to make the music and let him teach you about the music. And all of a sudden, you'll begin to learn how to sing. And you'll learn how to experience joy. And that's what is happening, I think, in this scripture. In a fallen world, God is saying we can come to Him and discover how we can make music in these relationships that we have. Whether it's a marriage relationship, whether it's a relationship with Him, whether it's our kids, whether they're, you know, our friends, whether they're bad musicians or not, or you don't even have any clue about what the music of life is all about, there is still this hope that we can move forward. And the promise is always there in this scripture that it will get better. I'm going to fly down to L.A. Tuesday and Wednesday to meet with my friend Pastor June. How many know Pastor June? And I just got a note from his daughter, Robin, and I this week that his wife has found a stage, the doctors have found a stage 1 lesion in her lungs. And, I'm interpreting the Japanese to English to Joe stuff here, but the way it was dialogued is they're not clear if it's cancer or not. Until they get in there. I think that, you know, Lee Bay is saying, we're not sure if it's the bad cancer or the good cancer. Well, I've never known there was any good cancer. But the doctors are saying, if we treat this, we'll be fine. And they're my age. She's my age. Without having some concept, and they have this concept, that God does miraculous things and is involved with their life, even if our life ends. Did you know that? There's worse things than dying. We have hope of restoration in living in the midst of God's kingdom and creation over and over again. And as we pursue that, life changes. And so they are living with this hope while at the same time having the same reality. Well, this could be a really bad event. But it's not the controlling event. Nothing like that controls the ultimate future of what God has for you. Whatever you're struggling with, in whatever relationship you're dealing with, as bad as it may be, that is not the controlling thing about your world and eternity when we follow God. Let's look at these five aspects of the very first marriage really quick. And we'll try to be careful to translate this into all kinds of things of marriage and relationship. And realize that as we pursue God, these kinds of things can happen in our relationships as they're struggling, because we are dealing with a God who's bigger than the limitations we have right now, and He is not contained to our timeline. You guys all right? Okay. Leo Tolstoy, you ever heard of him? Russian writer and poet, wrote, "What counts in making a happy relationship is not how compatible you are, but how you deal with incompatibility." There's all kinds of different viewpoints in this room, but the common thing that's here is that Jesus is the goal. He's the focus. He's the relationship. And what He has for us in the context of the future is bigger than what we're dealing with right now. And in this situation with Adam and Eve, here are five things that showed up in the relationship that demonstrated the health of that kind of perspective being in a relationship. Number one, friendship. When we read the scripture, it says we were not designed to be alone. We were designed to be together. And a lot of times this kind of thing is hard for us because we don't want to be alone, but we don't want to put up with each other either. And the dangerous thing to do is to try to just find people that are just like us, and that's not good for you. Difference is good. But friendship and relationship and community and being the body of Christ. And if I study Paul and other writings in the New Testament, I am convinced more and more and more that it says when you follow Jesus, you become a part of the body of Christ, and Christ is all of us together. So if you're going to follow Jesus, somehow we've got to muddle through the awkwardness of being together. And you don't have to be good at it. You just need to realize God has grace for you to do that. But an aspect of a healthy relationship and pursuit of God is that He will constantly be guiding us into relationships of other people, friendships, connections. If you're married to that person and they're your friend, how much better that is that? That they're your friend also. But God does not want you isolated. God does not want you alone. He wants you taking care of someone else and having them take care of you. And He's always wanting to encourage us to have an expanding role in that process. Number two, this is something that was an aspect of the first marriage, gardening. You all need to go plant a garden. Another word for that is stewardship. God gave Adam and Eve something to do. He says, I'm going to put you on this planet to rule over and take care of everything. And I think in our Western world, when we eliminate our reality of the spiritual world, we don't do very good with that. We have a hard time realizing that we were here first to be spiritual stewards of the planet, to invite God into this place and to worship Him and to give him room to roam with us on the planet and dwell amongst us. What was one of the first things that Adam and Eve did in the garden? They made Satan feel welcome. That's where the problem came in. They entertained the wrong person. They gave permission to the wrong entity. And as spiritual stewards of the planet, we're asked to entertain God's transforming presence. We can quit using straws, which is 0.003% of the plastic in the ocean. Big impact. We can quit using straws. We can quit, I don't know, we can do all kinds of things. And I'm not suggesting we shouldn't be environmentally sensitive. But being environmentally sensitive will never solve this problem. Inviting God's presence first into the planet. The guy who created it is going to restore it. The guy who created it is going to restore it. And He has invited us to be a part of that. In whatever relationship you're in, husband, wives, kids, friends, daughters, the biggest thing about that relationship, the biggest purpose, is not to make you happy. It should make you happy, but that's not the biggest priority. The biggest priority, and I've said this before, is God has something to do through that relationship that you have with those people. He wants to inhabit that relationship that you have and do something wonderful. It may be widely known. It may be something unnoticeable by other people, but only unto God and the long-term effect feel. It may be as simple to make you less of a jerk. I don't know. Make you a better person. Make you more God-like. But we are together because God has a purpose for us. Intimacy. God challenges us to be in relationships with people that are radically different from us, that we are uncomfortable to be with. A man and a woman, I have been married to my wife now for, in December, it'll be 40 years. 40 years. And I still do not understand that woman. I have come to the point that I realize that it is extremely exciting to be with someone I don't understand. There is something awesome here. There is something challenging and growing about having to trust someone I don't get. It teaches me how my relationship with God could grow. Do you want a God you can understand? I don't want a God I can understand. But God asked me to trust Him, and I don't understand Him. And I can work through that process in bits and pieces in this relationship. I enjoy things when I learn to not be the person who has to control it all. I can be set free. On and on and on. On and on and on. If she was just like me, it would be a disaster. I read years ago in a leadership book that said, friends that are just like you aren't good for you. All they will do is tell you, you're just fine, you don't have to change. And we enter in, if we're not careful, we enter into these relationships in marriages or in friendships or whatever it is, where we simply just say over and over to each other, we're going to try and find, we look for these relationships where we just try to find these people that are going to tell us, I'm fine, I don't have to change. They're willing to listen to my complaints, my beefs. They're willing to say it's okay that you are messing up in this area. They're willing to, lots of times they're willing to be in a relationship with you and even use you to make them feel better about the things they lack in. Those aren't healthy, growing relationships. So the positive side is we have these positive relationships, these awesome experiences with someone we'll never understand. Or we can choose to try to just get something that is just so safe that we never go anywhere. But they're never fulfilling. The super safe, identical relationships are never fulfilling. So intimacy. Intimacy is risky. It's difficult. I won't talk about sex here because it might embarrass some of you, but I really believe that there's a vast difference between men and women sexually because we are challenged to trust each other in our most intimate, deepest ways, in ways that we don't understand about the other person. We have to take incredible risks and back and forth, so that allows us to grow up into Christ. So friendship, gardening, intimacy, family. Because we are created for friendship, relationship, a purpose, because we're created to be involved intimately, those kinds of things, then we're also called to develop relationships with people in the context of family. And that can be in the context of actually have brothers, sisters, cousins, and all those kinds of things. But if you read the New Testament and you study the New Testament, Paul talks about the reality that we have a family that comes together under the headship of Christ. And again, it just reinforces that reality that we're not supposed to be alone. We're supposed to be involved with people that can help each other nurture and grow through life and grow up into the last one that I have listed here, which is to become like Jesus. To become like Jesus. Every relationship that you have should be challenging you to be like Jesus. Some relationships teach us that we need to ask for forgiveness a lot. Some relationships teach us that we need to forgive a lot. That iron sharpening iron exists. Some of those relationships teach us that there is blessing and fullness in the longevity of being with someone for 40 years. Well, we both had our opportunities to escape. And when you live long enough, you find out it's never perfect. It never is perfect. There's always a little pain, a little regret, a little disappointment. When our attitude is to be, I got to find paradise with this friend, with this person, with this spouse, you will never be satisfied. But when you allow the grace of Jesus to exist and to be in that relationship that is a little bit difficult and allow there to be some recovery and those kinds of things and healing, then you discover the fact that there's some wholeness of Jesus, even in the broken parts of our relationship. Hang on. Don't give up. Don't give up, Becky. You'll fix him. Let me just say this, close with this. We have a bigger hope than being made happy right now. Some of you aren't happy right now because you had to come to church. Your spouse made you or something. Some of you aren't happy because of your financial situation or your health or whatever it is. We can't depend upon the short-term circumstances to make us happy. Whatever those circumstances are, whatever that relationship is, on and on and on, it will at some point make you unhappy. Life will prove to make you miserable in some point, unless you have a bigger goal than that, and that goal has got to be following Jesus. Amen? Let me pray for you. Why don't you stand up? If you have some inkling that you would like to explore the expanded universe of God's kingdom, bigger than what you know right now. The hope, the glory, the richness. If you've heard a little tune somewhere and you'd like to hear the rest of the song, you know what I'm saying? Let's just agree together and say, Jesus, let me pray for you. Jesus, I pray that you would draw those folks in, that by the grace, by your grace, by the action of the cross, by the defeating of death, Lord, that you would allow these folks who have no musical skill in this context to hear great music, to learn the absolute fantastic stuff that you can do, God, when we pursue you. Father, I pray for breakthroughs, Lord, in these guys' lives. I pray for there to be a windfall of blessing beyond what they can even imagine. Lord, I pray that it would be like that, not even knowing what music is, and then all of a sudden hearing the most complete, beautiful music in the world. That they would see that kind of picture of who you are and have that kind of relationship with you, and that it would trickle down and into the lives and relationships of their lives, Lord. God, I pray where there would be physical need, where there would be financial need, where there would be relational need, Lord. Not that you would just provide the answers to those needs. Beyond that, let's go beyond that. I pray that these folks would be content, trusting in you and having hope in you for those needs, whether they're met today or 10 years from now, or maybe never, they would still trust you with their lives. Lord, I speak blessing now in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.